Morning. Hear me all right? Okay. Hopefully the mic will stay. I've lost it a few times now. So bear with me if it falls out again. I want to talk this morning about prayer. And I think that very likely there's probably somebody listening right now who doesn't understand why prayer is such a big deal. I mean, hopefully that's not most of us, but it's possible somebody is thinking that. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But if you think that, consider this. There is no, and I mean no, person in this person of power in this world who you could go to, not the President of the United States, not the Queen of England, not the Prime Minister of Canada, really not even your local senator. You cannot just walk up to them, talk to them about your personal issues, and then know that they are listening, that they care, that they want to help you, and that they already knew that you were having these problems. With God, you can do that. God listens, and he does care, and he wants to help. Now, it may not always be what you want. It may not always be what you wanted to get, but he does listen, and he does respond. And for a lot of people, for some of you, you've been doing this for a long time, you've been praying for a long time, and you're good at it. And I'm glad for that. That's wonderful. I'm not upset if nothing I tell you is anything new. But we need strong, mature Christians who are praying for us, praying for all of us, so that we have that. So that we have that power from God for all of us, as we've talked a lot about corporate prayer. Now, the other thing is that there are a lot of children, small children, who pray in a way that's different from any of us. Jesus said when you pray, you should pray like a small child. And that makes sense to me because children have a connection to God. If you're a small child out here, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You have a connection to God that's just kind of comes natural. I can remember when my niece was a baby, my wife and I looked after her a lot, and her parents had put her in a daycare that was at a church. And one day we gave her a snack, I think it was goldfish crackers or something like that. She really liked those. And we watched as she sat over these crackers and didn't take one and eat one right away. She went like this, folded her hands and bowed her head, and then she started saying baby talk because she couldn't talk yet. And I thought, I remember thinking back then, oh, that's great, they taught her to pray, but also, oh, that's so cute, she's babbling. Now, that's what I thought. She's babbling. For all I know, God knew exactly what she was saying. And we also have a lot of people who, I am going to say, they're talented at prayer. You know, if you're an artist of some kind, if you're an artist or a writer or a musician, you know that there's a certain amount of talent that goes into that. There's some ability that you have before you even learn anything. And I can tell you, I mean, my wife has that. My mother has that. They're able to pray really without even thinking too hard about how we're going to do this. I can't do that. I shared that with you last time I was up here, that it's hard for me to pray. It's hard for me to know what to say the words right. And maybe that's true for some of you. That's why we're going to talk about this today. What we're going to discuss is the Lord's Prayer. It's found at Matthew 6. Now, the interesting thing about this is that there's a parallel account at Luke 11. So in Matthew 6, Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount. And it's probably the greatest speech ever given. It probably took him less than an hour. And if you have no idea where to start reading the Bible, I would say start at Matthew 5 and continue through chapter 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. But the parallel account at Luke 11, instead of starting with the Sermon on the Mount, it starts with Jesus praying, and his disciples come to him and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now you think about that. These are men and women who have been following Jesus, and they have been raised among God's chosen people, among the Jews, the Israelites. So you would think they would know very well how to pray. But a lot of times back then they didn't. And probably when they saw Jesus praying, maybe they saw, maybe our prayers aren't as good as we thought it was. Because apparently the leaders at that time, for all their talk of tithing and not threshing wheat on the Sabbath and not, you know, being sure to wear tassels in your clothing and not boiling kids in their mother's milk, for all that, all those little things they were teaching, they weren't teaching their people how to pray. So that's nothing to be ashamed of, because even spiritual men and women sometimes have trouble with prayer. But what I want to do, let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And we'll see what Jesus said about that. Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corner of the street, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the pagans do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Not you. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, then, pray." And I'm going to use the original language here from King James, since I think we're all familiar with it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." For a lot of Bibles, it then concludes with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Although not every Bible has that. But there's nothing wrong with that, so if you want to add that in, you certainly can. Well, we're going to talk about the part of the prayer that goes up to deliver us from evil. Now, let's go back then and look at what Jesus is actually saying. Because it's interesting, the first thing he does is tell you how not to pray. So verse 5, he says, "When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. I say to you, they have their reward." So think of these people who are praying. Imagine people praying in the street, not really doing it for them because they want to talk to God or because it's for the glory of God, but because they want these people to see them. Oh, I'm this holy man and I'm praying. You know, and there was a lot of that in Jesus' time. Sometimes it happens now too. But the important thing is that Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray in secret. And so you should, he actually advises to go into a room and shut the door so that nobody can see you. So that way, people don't know necessarily that you're praying. But he also says that your Father who sees in secret, who sees you praying secretly, he will reward you openly. I think that's very true. I think for a lot of people, when they pray, and when they pray earnestly, God rewards them. And it can be seen in their lives. It can be seen in the fact that they are living good lives, that they don't have a lot of drama in their lives. Sometimes that's part of it. And that they're prosperous. And I don't mean to say that God will make you rich. But what I mean is that God will make sure you have what you need. For some people, that's a small, modest home. For some people, it's something bigger. But God makes sure that you have what you need and that you can keep it up, because people see that. And that is also a form of blessing God, of giving glory to God, when people can see that you serve God and here you have the means and the ability to take care of your things. That is a way that he rewards us openly. Now, the next part is kind of interesting because we could go into a lot of modern religions, but basically what he's saying is that don't just repeat the same words like a chant or some of the other things that the non-Jews, the Gentiles, used to do. And I think the modern equivalent of that is if you hear somebody just talk and talk and talk and they just keep on talking and they won't let you get a word in and they just keep talking and they talk and they talk and they talk, because if they stop talking, then maybe you'll get a word in and you might actually show them where something they're saying is wrong. So with some people, they pray and they use a lot of words, or you know, every single prayer is dedicating the temple. Not every prayer has to be like that. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's just a couple words. And that is what a prayer is. But again, Jesus says that You're not going to, just because you're saying a lot of words doesn't mean that God is going to hear you and is going to give more importance to that than somebody who just uses a few. But he goes on to say, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. That's an interesting idea, because if God knows what we need, why do we have to ask him? Well, part of the reason for that, at least part of it, and there's probably more scholarly answers, but I think a big part of that is sometimes he needs to know that you're serious. I mean, you can pray for something and then just forget it. But if you keep praying and praying and say, I really need this, I really want this, then God will hear that, and he knows that you're serious about it. It's like the parable Jesus talked about the judge and the old woman. And it's not to say that you can pester God or that he doesn't want to do anything for you, but that if he keeps hearing you pray for certain things, then he knows this is what you want, and he gets it. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything you pray for. Some of you might remember, if you've read Huckleberry Finn, there's a part in that when Huck's adopted aunt, Miss Watson, tells him, whatever you pray for, you'll get. So Huck prays for a fishing rod. And he says in the book he got a fishing line, but he didn't get any hooks. So can't fish without hooks. So he decided, well, prayer doesn't really work. It didn't do me any good. But so Huck was kind of new to the idea of praying. But prayer means asking for things that you need. And sometimes it's answered in ways you don't necessarily want, or maybe ways you didn't even think about. But he does answer. So Jesus goes on to give us the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. So verse 9, he starts it and says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right, what's that mean? What is that name? I actually heard somebody once say that God's name is hallowed. Like his name is literally hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Well, in fact, what it means is this. The Jews had an idea of God the Father. Not so much God the Son, but God the Father. They understood God to be a being with a name. And they held this name in great reverence. Now, it got to the point in Jesus' time where they barely even used the name because they thought it too sacred even for them to speak. But that's the name. When we talk about the Father, that's what we're talking about. So let's talk about the name Jesus. Now we know that in Hebrews chapter 1, we're told that Jesus was given a name above any other name. And so it is that name then that we can use when we pray. When we pray to Jesus. And we understand then giving that kind of glory, that kind of reverence to him. If it goes, we go further and see, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I think I missed the earth part the first time. But in earth as it is in heaven. So we know already that God, his kingdom is in heaven. We know that Jesus sits on the throne there. We know that he has his angels. Do we see that kingdom going on here on earth? That's an interesting question, isn't it? We do. We do to an extent. It's not quite the same, but it is going on here on earth as well. But Jesus said we should pray. We should pray that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's something we pray for all the time. A lot of times, and keep in mind that even when we pray for certain things to happen, we might pray for, a lot of times we prayed for revival in our nation. Or we prayed about the pro-life issue. These are asking that God's will be done on earth. So really, even without using these exact words, we're already praying for those things. Now, the first part of the prayer is actually about God. It's glorifying him, glorifying his name, asking that his will be done. The next part of the prayer is actually about us. Because he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Now, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, give us this day a storehouse of bread, so that we never have to worry about bread again. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us a loaf of bread. Now what would that do? That would be enough for them to feed themselves for the day. As Jesus tells them later on in the chapter, don't worry about tomorrow, worry about today. And then, so that's why he told us to pray for our daily bread. And that just doesn't just mean food, but everything we need. Everything we need for today, we pray for. And we know that God already knows we need that, so he'll make sure we have it. He goes on to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Obviously, we want to be forgiven. We want mercy from God. But he adds on to that, as we forgive our debtors. Jesus made it very clear at other points that this is important, that we have to forgive those who forgive us if we want to be forgiven. And sometimes you have to pray for that. Sometimes you have to pray to have the strength, the wisdom, and sometimes even the courage to forgive somebody who's done you wrong. But at the same time, you pray that you're forgiven, and sometimes you have to pray that others will forgive you as well. Now, having to do with forgiveness, Jesus goes on to say, lead us not into temptation. I think we know what temptation is. We all have temptations, and a lot, some of them are different. Some of us are not tempted by the same things. Some people tend toward a certain vice, and that's something they need help with. Other people, that's not a big deal, but they have something different. So Jesus is saying, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us be tempted. Or when we are tempted, help us. Help us to be strong and keep away from that. The next part is similar, but it's different. Deliver us from evil. It's different because temptation is what's in us. Temptation is the imperfect things we have, the bad things, the evil things in us that we have to fight against. But deliver us from evil. Many other Bibles it says deliver us from the evil one. He's talking about the devil. Now the devil is something outside of us. The devil is not the temptations we have inside, it's the outside things that we have to be concerned about that can change us, that can make us do things that otherwise we might not have done. And that is important, you know, that in Jeremiah it said the heart is treacherous, and it's true, like I said, that we have a lot of evil things within us, but there's a lot of evil things without us too that we have to be careful of. We have to be careful of many thoughts and ideas that are out there that can be contagious and can turn into something bad, something cancerous if it gets into our minds and our hearts. So Jesus wrote this, or Jesus spoke this rather. Obviously Matthew wrote it, but Jesus spoke this with the idea of it being a model prayer. And I think Jesus knew, well, of course he did. He knew that, as I said, there are people with a talent for prayer. But the interesting thing, again, about being an artist or a musician or a writer is that you can have some talent. And talent can take you a long way. Talent doesn't take you everywhere. At some point, you have to learn the skills involved. So even those who knew how to begin with prayer, Jesus is giving them the guideline for how to pray. He shows them what you can pray for. You can pray for God that he be glorified. You can pray for his kingdom, pray that it will come, and that many good things will happen on the earth. You can pray that he'll give you what you need today. And hopefully you won't worry too much about tomorrow, just about today. You can pray that he will forgive you and that he will help you to forgive others. You can pray that you won't be tempted, that you won't be tempted by your own heart and the bad things in it. And you can pray that the devil is not around to tempt you in other things that maybe you wouldn't normally be tempted by. So Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples knowing that they needed it, that they needed a guideline. And you have to, it's good to know the rules, and like I say, a lot of people have that talent. Eventually you do have to learn how to pray. Not because God doesn't hear you if you don't know it, but it helps you to focus your own thoughts. And it helps you to really be good at praying for what you need. and to understand how to do that. So, as I've said before, prayer is not a strong thing for me. My mother taught me to pray when I was 2 years old. And I've worked at it. I've gotten better. What I'd like to do now, go ahead and close with this, is to let's go ahead and pray. And I'd like to use the model prayer to kind of guide me along in that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you give us, and we thank you that though you are great, you're worthy of our honor, worthy of honor, worthy of devotion, that you have given us your grace, that we're not worthy, you've allowed us to be strengthened by you. So we pray, Father, we pray that you will make these changes on the earth that we need, that you will help our nation, help our world. You will help those who are misguided to see where they are misguided and to know how they can do better and what they should do. That's really too vast of a subject for me to get into the details, but there are many people who need that, who are very lost and need to know what they need to change, how they need to come closer to you. So we pray that you will help them to do that, that you will help them to come to Christ and know what true peace, true happiness is. Lord, I'll pray that we will pray that you give us what we need each day. Help us to be happy what we have. Help us to know that no matter what may come to us, that you're watching, that you know what we need, and you're making sure we get it. That it may not be the way we expected it to come, but that you know what we need, and you provide it. We pray also that you help us with the inner struggles we have. And again, those are all different. Even Christians who have dedicated themselves to you, they have these struggles. We pray that you give us the strength with that to deal with it, whether that be a temptation in the heart. In some cases, it might be an ailment of some kind that puts us down, makes us feel bad or depressed, and makes us not know what to do next or how to proceed. But help us with that too. And help us to stand strong against Satan and against the forces in the world that he commands, the forces that would try us and try to get us to make bad decisions, really to do evil, to turn against you. But instead, please let us stand strong against those kind of forces. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you died for us. We pray that you continue with us and forgive us always for our sins. We pray now and ask this in your name. Amen.